Hi everybody, and I hope this finds us all doing really, really well. I hope we're enjoying this new series called The Condition of the Human Heart and how we are transitioning from this posture of having a heart that is deceitful, that is desperately sick, into being given a brand new heart, a brand new spirit, where God takes our heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh, so we have the capacity and the ability to live this brand new life in his son, Jesus Christ. And we're going to continue on this exact same theme in part three, where we're going to look at, now that we've been given this brand new heart, this brand new spirit, it's fully possible for us to give our whole heart now unto the Lord, where we're able to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and our strength. God needs to remove this hardened heart and give us a heart transplant, give us this brand new heart. And I guess the question that I would ask us to ask ourselves is why? Why has the Father gone to this enormous length for us as his creation? Why would he send his Son to go through what the Son went through for you and I? And the answer is to reconcile us back into a right relationship with himself called spiritual fellowship or oneness with him, which is the position we started with in Christ before we fell. He wants us in this position of oneness with himself, his Son, and his Spirit. And it is from this work of God that we now find ourselves fully possible to love him with our entire heart, our entire soul, our entire mind and strength, as opposed to loving ourselves and others in our lives. A divided heart is not a whole heart. A heart that is in love with oneself and others is incapable of loving the Lord as per the Lord's instructions, as per the Lord's commandments, hence the need for the Father to give us a brand new heart and a brand new spirit. And so it's through receiving this heart transplant, we find ourselves being able to live out what the truth calls us to, starting with the keeping of the first commandment of our covenant with the Father and his Son. And as we've said, this is known as the greatest commandment given to us by the Father. This is one of the primary purposes of our calling, to love him with all we are, the way he defines this. Not the way we define it, but the way he defines it. And we see Mark 12, 28, 31 giving us this commandment. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, "What commandment is foremost of all?" Jesus answered, "The foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other greater commandment than these." Unless we have experienced this heart transplant through the work of the Holy Spirit, being born of his Spirit and his power, not only we will fail to keep this first commandment, but we will also fail to keep the second, the way he designs it. The second commandment is only made possible by the first, and the first is only made possible by the work of the Spirit through revelation, through the work of the Spirit, giving us this brand new heart, this brand new spirit. What we will be left with, if this isn't the case, is us trying to keep the commandments from a heart of stone, our old heart, a spirit of pride, where we strive harder and harder and harder at our own strength to live out what truth calls us to. No matter how good our intention might be, we'll find ourselves failing miserably, becoming more and more frustrated and ultimately disillusioned with the whole thing. We may eventually run the risk of giving up or settling for our version of loving God and humanity from our broken earthly state, which is to sin, in other words, to miss the mark because of unbelief. We fail to live by the standard of faith because we live from a position of flesh. Question for you, is this speaking to you right now? Is this in fact you and I? Are you able to identify with this reality? Now, if so, there is incredible hope for you as the Father desires to do this deep work of transformation in you, this transplant work. But you must be willing to relinquish your entire life with all its ways, with all its controls, with all its desires and dreams and passions, purposes unto Him, all that you've created and all your thinking that you think is of Him. In other words, are you truly willing to lose your life for His sake, no matter what, where it has nothing to do with what you will gain in return? Is this what you're willing and prepared to do today? And if you are, the Father will meet you in this place. Matthew 10:39, he who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. There is gain to be received, but we don't lose our lives based on receiving the gain. We lose our lives based on who He is and His words of spirit and life. This is why the work of God is to believe and not doing anything functionally. John 6:29, Jesus answered them and said, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. Now, I've seen many in the past and many in the present reject, resist, deny, deflect, and justify the way of heaven for the sake of other ways pertaining to life. And these ways, the ways of man, these other ways, they promise much, but they deliver the same result, absolutely nothing. They look and they sound new to the flesh, but they are just flesh painted up as spirit. In other words, as the saying goes, they are mutton dressed up as lamb. And a classic example of this is in doing works for God, works that we read about in the scripture, or works that we've dreamt up, we've inspired, we've initiated, and they're led by us. Under this form of godliness and the camouflage banner of loving God, we do all these works for God, which God is not asking for at all, as a way of deflecting the real issue at hand, which is the true state of our human heart. And we can see this reality in a number of scriptures that the Bible talks about. Go read Psalm 51:16-19. Go read Mark 12:32-33. And go read Matthew 9:10-13. Talks about burnt offerings and sacrifices not being what God is looking for. And in the context today, these are the fleshly works that we create, that we determine and perform using His name as justification for our own way, believing that in these works, in our way, we are a living, a life of sacrifice unto the Lord. We believe this is proving our love for Him and others with all we are. And unfortunately, there is nothing further from the truth. What these followers fail to realize, and this may be you I'm speaking to today, or more importantly, what you or they want to believe, is that in living this way of works, these works are pointless, they are worthless, and they mean nothing to the Father. And He describes that to us in 1 Corinthians 13, in the passage of 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all the mysteries and the knowledge, if I have all faith and so remove mountains but don't have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Works for God, whether they are inspired, empowered, and led by Him or man, are not the evidence of our love for him and others. Having the fruit of his Spirit being formed in and built within us through the power of the Holy Spirit's working in us, while at the same time being manifested through us, is. We have been created for this very purpose, to partake of the covenant of love. And when we get to love the Father and the Son with every part of our entire being, when this is the case, just like they love us, and from this position, we love humanity with this incorruptible love. And this is the commandment that Jesus gives us in John 13:34. New commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So with all this in mind, are you ready and prepared to take the step towards this new life in Christ by fully trusting in who he is and in what he says, relinquishing the control of your very existence unto him for his and his gospel's sake, so you can enter into the fullness of life within you and get to manifest his life through you? This is the question I want to leave with you to consider in part 3. We'll see you soon for part 4.